Welcome to Champion Center Podcast. We believe that by continued listening, you can grow relationally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. Listen in now on this worship experience already in progress.
I've sure had fun in this series, and I want to begin in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. It's been the staple verse of this series, and I want to begin there if I could. So I'm going to invite you to take some notes and be a part of this message this weekend. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Everybody say, my heart's open, my mind's ready. Make me better, God, by your word. I receive it, and I believe it, and I won't be the same again. In Jesus' name, shout a great big amen. All right, here's how it reads. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, let me tell you what he's saying right here. He's saying, don't let the world push you into its pattern. Don't allow yourself to take on the standards and the philosophies and the perspectives that are normal to the people around you without even thinking about it. But rather, be shaped by God's word and the superior nature and the excellence of God's word within you. This weekend, I want to talk to you about living an exceptional life. Living an exceptional life. If you've been here the last few weeks, you know that the definition of exceptional is unusual, uncommon, and out of the ordinary. Exceptional is the exact opposite of normal. Unusual, uncommon, and out of the ordinary. Jesus said to his followers, he said, you are the salt of the earth, and you are the light of the world. He's not telling them that they are better than everyone else, but he is telling them that they are called to be exceptional. That they are called to be different. That they are called to be unique. To stand out and not fit in. You see, we're called to something better than the average. We're called to something unusual, not typical. Not only as individuals, but as God's people and as God's church. People often ask me how I was called into ministry, and it surprises me, or it surprises rather people, when I began to share with them that I feel like my calling began in an irritation. What I would call a bother. And since that happened to me, I've realized that what bothers us is often an indicator of God's purpose in our lives. So my calling began with an awareness that most people at the church where I was attending and where I'd grown up were living very average, normal lives, and they were experiencing the same limitations, the same disappointments, the same defeat that was normal in the people who don't attend church or have faith in Christ. And so the conclusion that I came to was that the people attending church had secured their ticket and their reservation for heaven, but they were still living their lives in a normal pattern to the people around them. And as a young man, I was compelled to devote my life and my life work to equipping people to live successful Christian lives. And for me, the big win of my life would be that if people would realize the blessing of God and experience the blessing of God in such a way that they would become a blessing to the world around them. I know that there's a lot of people today who are worried about our nation, and there's a lot of people who are worried about the strife and the tension in our country, and it's understandable. There's a lot of people that are worried about the economy, the next big downturn, and when's it going to happen, and how's it going to happen? And there's high school students and college students who are nervous about their future and how the present events plays into the future of their life. And I want to say to everyone this weekend that the best thing that you can do is to put less energy into fitting in with the normal conversation and the normal mindset and invest more energy into being the exceptional person that God has called you to be. In the Old Testament, there's a book of the Bible that is named Daniel. Daniel did not have a book of the Bible named after him because he was a gifted prophet. Daniel did not become popular in his day because he had a title or he had a position. He was a young Jewish boy when he was taken into the captivity by Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. And everything that he did, Daniel did as a young man, led to a promotion in his life. So get the picture here. Even though he was growing up and living in a culture of people that worshiped idols, Daniel believed in the same God that we believe in. Daniel's heroes were Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Okay, so I want you to understand the dynamics here. He had the same faith in God. He knew him as Jehovah God. And he believed in him as the Almighty One. He had the exact same lineage and heritage spiritually that we have today as Christians. And yet he's growing up in this foreign culture that was so different than who he was on the inside. So with that in mind, I want to read to you a couple of verses. The first one is Daniel chapter 5 and verse 12. And here's what it says. It says, because an excellent spirit, everybody say excellent.
Excellent.
Spirit.
Spirit.
Say it again. Excellent.
Excellent.
Spirit.
Spirit.
Because Daniel had an excellent spirit and understanding to interpret dreams, explain riddles, solve problems. Those were all found in this young man, Daniel. Now, you might look at this and you might say, well, I don't know how to interpret dreams or explain riddles. Well, first of all, let me just tell you that you do have some kind of gifts that God has given you. And I want you to realize that the other things that are here are all accessible. The excellent spirit and the knowledge and the ability to solve problems is all something that we all have the ability to do. Now I want you to read on to Daniel chapter 6. Now Daniel, verse 3, Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps, or you and I would know as province leaders, or maybe the mayor of a community, such as Bellevue or Tacoma. He had so distinguished himself among those kind of people by his what? His exceptional qualities. By his exceptional qualities. Not by the way he fit in. Not by the way he partied with everybody else. Not by the way that he went around and got, collected the, the favor of everybody around him to be on his side, but by his exceptional qualities. He had so much of that that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. So I want to give you some observations about Daniel in light of the exceptional qualities and a young man that was in what we would call a very difficult situation. Let me just share two or three things about him. First of all, Daniel's spirit of excellence is what made him exceptional. His spirit of excellence is what made him exceptional. Daniel could have been bitter. Daniel could have been indifferent. Daniel could have condemned and criticized the people who he disagreed with. He could have done that. Or another option would have been that he could have adapted, fit in, and been like everyone around him. Because those are the things that normal people would have done. I said, those are the things that normal people would have done. But see, we're not here to condemn the culture or adapt to the culture. We're here to stand out as people who have an excellent spirit and live exceptional lives. You and I live in a society where mediocrity is the norm. And many people do as little as they can to get by. They don't take pride in their work or pride in who they are. I mean, if somebody's watching them, then they perform one way. But then when nobody's watching, they cut corners, they compromise their energy, their integrity. And they do as little as possible. But what I'm saying to you is that you don't have to be that kind of person. And you're called to be exceptional. And when other people slack off, I want to encourage you to be the one who works hard, the one who listens well, the one who is teachable, the one who is coachable, the one who leans in. I want to encourage you to be the exceptional one who takes pride in what you do and who does everything that you do with a spirit of excellence. The Bible says, whatever your hands find to do, do it with all of your heart as unto the Lord. In other words, it's telling us that it's not just what we do in church that we do unto the Lord. It's whatever we do. It's whatever our hands find to do. It's whatever job is given to us, whatever opportunity is put in front of us. The writer is saying, whatever you do, don't do it half-heartedly. Don't do it halfway. Don't do it with an attitude of mediocrity. Put your heart into everything that you do and give it your very, very best as unto the Lord. The second thing that I want to extract from the story of Daniel is that the spirit of excellence comes from within, and everyone has access to it. Spirit of excellence comes from within. Let's talk about that. A spirit of excellence is not just for a few people. See, methods of excellence can be taught, but a spirit of excellence is something that is caught by spending time in God's presence and in God's word. Now, that may sound overly spiritual or strange to you, but When you talk about a spirit of excellence, we're talking about something different than behavior modification. Behavior modification is something that is external. And you can adapt behavior at the right time in the right way, and you can learn that methodology. But your heart can continue, and your spirit can continue to be sloppy. And so when the circumstances change or your surroundings change, you revert back to what's on the inside of you. And a spirit of excellence is something that you can get, and everybody can get, no matter how you grew up, no matter where you're from, no matter what your parents did, no matter what you saw as examples, good, bad, ugly, whatever it is, everyone who is here this weekend has access to a spirit of excellence. If you're willing to not be conformed to the world, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, Daniel may have had some natural ambition, but he had a pattern of praying 3 times a day. And I can't help but believe that his pattern of prayer lifted his perspective from what would have been the norm, because he was spending time talking to God. First of all, Daniel must have prayed for the courage to be exceptional, because being exceptional was costly to him. It wasn't easy. And he didn't have a church like we have to support when you're stepping out of the norm. I mean, when everyone else was bowing down to graven images, that was against his convictions, he had to be the one who stayed true to his vow before God and would open up his window. That meant people could see in, and they did. And they would observe him kneeling and praying to his God. And rather than succumbing and being conformed to the world around him, he must have many times asked God for the courage to continue to align his life with his convictions. And eventually, he ended up in a den of lions because he refused to conform to the culture that was around him. Now, how do you do that? How do you get thrown into a den of lions? How do you go there without having some sort of spiritual strength that could only come from God? When in just a moment, if you would deny your faith and be conformed to the culture around you, all of that could be called off. That's why I believe that Daniel had this prayer life that was tenacious enough that he had to be praying, God, help me. God, help me. Help me stay true to the things that I learned since I was a child. While the world around me is different, God, don't allow me to conform to the world around me, but help me, God, to have the courage under pressure. The second thing that Daniel must have prayed for was that he could keep a great attitude in the positions that he was finding himself in, surrounded by a culture that was not consistent with who God was calling him to be. He must have prayed that God would help him to have the right attitude. Remember the weightiness of what I'm describing. He was taken captive. He was not in his homeland. He was basically a servant in the house of a king whose leadership had caused all of this pain and struggle for his family and his friends. I just want you to understand The place he was at was not easy. And he must have prayed, God, help me with my attitude. Help me, God, to work diligently and do my job in such a way that God, it would honor you. Help me, God, even though I these are basically enemies of my family. God, help me to not allow that to interfere with my ability to learn and grow and be the best that I can be in what I do each and every day. Don't let me get so sucked up in the hate or the strife or the anger, God, that I allow it to take over my perspective and my heart. Here we are on the weekend before we celebrate our nation this week, and I want to just tell everyone here, I think you know this, but I love our country. I am so thankful for America. I'm thankful for the people past and present who serve our nation. And I'm one of those people, when the national anthem plays, I want to stand. I want to put my hand on my heart. I'm a patriot. But America is not the hope of the world. As great as our nation is a human-led nation that's drifted away from its faith in God and from its confidence in the Bible as God's word. And I want to assure you that God's not pacing heaven right now, wondering, what am I going to do? It's all going to hell in a handbasket. He's not. He's not stressed out. Because God's plan and his real hope for the world is not in a human government or a man-made system. God's hope for the world is in one king whose name is higher, whose name is greater, whose name is above every other name. He sent Jesus, and he hasn't abandoned the plan, and he hasn't gotten frightened by everything that's going on in the world to resist the plan. God is comfortable with the idea and the concept of having invested heaven into his son Jesus for the salvation of humanity and the salvation of mankind. So I want to remind you, this weekend that you are not called to conform and you are not called to fit in. That's the first thing you need to understand. But you're also not called to criticize. And you're not called to condemn. We're called to pray for our country. We're called to keep on praying for an excellent spirit. Come on, church. We're here to be exceptional. I said we're here to be exceptional. Let's keep praying that God would give us an excellent spirit. You can be seated just for a minute more. I want us to keep praying and asking God to help us to honor up, honor down, and honor all around. I know when I talk this way, some of you, it bothers you, and some of you get upset and get mad, but I haven't been in the business of pleasing people in a long, long time, and I'm not about to start now. I want to remind every man and every woman who's here this weekend, you are not here to join in with the strife and the hate and the tension and the worry. You are here to be exceptional. You are here to stand out. You are here to be light. You are here to be salt. Come on, we are here to spread good news and to bring hope. And I want to assure you that if you will do that, I want to assure you that excellence is what opens up the doors of greater opportunity in our lives. I want to assure you that when we all, or even some of us, agree on this one thing, that in the middle of a world that has drifted, in a world that doesn't have direction, that we're going to lay hold and keep laying a hold of the confidence that what God has began in us, He will continue His work in us and through us, that we're a part of something bigger. Come on, we're a part of something greater. And I want to assure you, like a message I taught a few weeks ago, the best is yet to come. That in the same way that God used Daniel's excellence when everything was small and everything that he did was just done in a corner in the Babylonian world. It was done in a corner somewhere, I don't know, maybe making mud to put on bricks or whatever he might have been doing. And then he got promoted over to a position working in the yard of the palace. And then from the yard, he got noticed by somebody who said, hey, can you come in and work on the inside and help us to just serve from the kitchen? And then serving from the kitchen, somebody sees what he's doing and that excellent spirit just keeps on finding its way. Come on, it keeps on finding its way. Shining a light, being bright, bringing hope. You can tell I've not said everything I want to say. I know the music's playing, be quiet just for a minute, like calm down, I'm not quite done. When I started my ministry, when I started our ministry, I was in charge of a bus route that picked up children and brought them to church on Sunday. That was my first ministry. I had to get up early on Saturday, and I had to get up really early on Sunday. I had to ride the bus all morning, and then I had to ride Sunday after church and take all these kids home. And I filled up a bus and I got another bus. And some of you have heard my story, that's my first ministry where I started. Then I was asked to be on the team of youth leaders. And that's where I learned about working with other people my age. And what, you know, I learned that what I could do could be irritating to some of the people that I loved. And I was in some ways, I was a case study for how to not get along with people and how to demotivate people. And then I went to Bible college and I became a youth pastor. And then I was asked to be a pastor of a small church that was divided. And I learned a lot of lessons along the way. And sometimes what I learned was painful. And oftentimes I wanted to quit. But I was cutting my teeth in the painful process of being an influencer and the painful process of being a leader. And oftentimes I felt inadequate. And oftentimes I felt like I wasn't up to it. But there's one thing that I realized, and that is that excellence at one level is what opened up the door at the next level of opportunity for me. And now I get the feeling, and I'm not saying this with any form of arrogance, I think you understand my heart, but I get the feeling sometimes that there are people who envy my life. I do get to travel around the world. I do have crazy good opportunities, and I am such a blessed man, and my family and our church, and I get that feeling sometimes from people, and sometimes there's young people that want to know, you know, how to be where I am. I've noticed this, that people want the privilege without walking the path. But you can't skip the process. And it's the process that produces the excellence. I said it's the process that produces the excellence. And when you read about the heroes of the Bible, including Daniel, none of them started in these influential places and where their word really mattered and where their leadership really counted. They all started somewhere down here in a corner of the world where other people wouldn't notice. And I'm telling you this because I don't want you to underestimate on this weekend how your life and the excellence that you bring to the table right now can open up the doors of promotion in your life, and how God could use you and take you to another place, another space, and you could grow in your influence. Come on, you could grow in your way to help and make a difference in the world around you. So I want you as you're standing on your feet, I just want you to understand, in our nation, there's not time to freak out. And in our city, it's not time to freak out. What it is time to do is it's time to choose God's way. It's time for us not to curse the darkness, but light a candle. And let's let our attitudes be shaped by God's way. Let's let our response be shaped by God's word. Let's let what we do and what we say always go through the funnel. Is this what God would have me to do? Because I want to tell our church family, we're here to make a difference, and we can make a difference, starting with each and every one of you. We can make a difference, and with God's help, we will make a difference. So we no longer fight or wrestle against flesh and blood. Your enemy is not on the other side of the political aisle. Your enemy is not on the other side of the racial divide. No, 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 no. The enemy is within you. And the more you can deny the conforming to the world, and you can allow the power and the grace and the goodness of God to fill your heart with wisdom and direction and guidance. Come on, we can. We gotta fight. Come on, we gotta fight the right fight. We gotta fight the right fight.
Thank you for listening today. We hope that you enjoyed today's teaching. If you'd like to help support this podcast, give today and help spread messages all over the world. Download our app and select Give, or go to cc.church/give. Thanks and have a great week.